everybody. Cal Banyan, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc., where we talk about, yeah, you got it, hypnosis, etc. And we're going to be more etc.-ish than we usually are because in this episode, Meredith is going to be talking about, if I understood her right, integrating spirituality into your hypnosis sessions. By the way, if you're watching this video anywhere except calbanyan.com, go to calbanyan.com because right below this video, down there, is extra text, graphics, and links that make this video just a whole lot more valuable for you. All right, let me tell you about Meredith. Not only is she the consummate professional, educated, caring, loving professional that she is in Los Angeles, you know what? She also has a very spiritual side. She's going to talk a little bit about how she integrates that spiritual side of her into her hypnosis practice in a way that is professional and gets her lots and lots of referrals. How you doing, Meredith?
I'm doing so good. I'm excited to talk about my topic for convention.
All right. So what I want you to do is I want you to give away as much as you possibly can. Now, how long is the talk at the convention?
2 hours.
All right. So you're going to get about 15 minutes to just give them the full lowdown.
Yeah.
Squeeze as much of that content as you can.
I didn't get to introduce you yet, though.
Okay.
We jumped the gun.
Make it short.
Yeah. So Cal also was a psychologist.
Nope.
What?
I was never a licensed psychologist. I just want to make sure that that's understood.
Okay. Well, you worked as a talk therapist.
Yes. I was I have a master's degree in psychology. In some states, I would qualify as a psychologist, but I never had the name psychologist, except for a short period of time while I was doing a placement at North Dakota State Hospital, but not really a licensed psychologist. I just wanted to clear that up. I'm an MA, not an MD or a PhD. Did all my coursework for PhD. I was ABD, all but dissertation. But enough about me. Please continue.
Okay. Well, thanks for clearing that up. Yeah, he absolutely worked in the talk therapy world like me prior to coming to hypnosis.
Yes, I did.
Yes, and thankfully he did because he's the one that brought us 5-Path and 7th-Path self-hypnosis and a very spiritual man himself and such a person after my own heart when it comes to integrating the professional side of things with the spiritual side of things. My mentor and my inspiration for sure. Thank you, Cal.
That's right. Who's your hypno daddy?
You definitely are.
There you go.
And that's what cracks me up about when people think that we're dating or we're a couple and they've dabbled and they think we must be together because we do these podcasts together. But I'm like, he's like my dad. He's my hypno daddy.
That's right. We have a professional relationship.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. You shouldn't talk about that too much because they'll start thinking, you know, perhaps they protesteth too much.
Ah. Well, we just speak the truth.
That's just the truth.
People can believe what they want.
That's right.
Yes. So, yeah, in August, I've been honored to be selected as a speaker, and I'm doing two different talks, one that I already spoke about a couple podcasts ago on overcoming client resistance, and I'm really particularly excited about my second talk that is my exact title. I'm going to say it to you exactly as it is written so you know what it is, A Journey to Divinely Inspired Success, Professionally Integrating Spirituality into your practice. And I'm doing a 2-hour talk on this and really going to dig into how to bring spirituality in without maybe being too woo-woo, without being off-putting, without losing people, all of these things that might happen if you don't do it right. So, you know, basically I'm going to be getting into what spirituality is because a lot of people have the wrong idea about that. They get confused with religion and spirituality, and there are a lot of people who are spiritual but not at all religious, and so we're going to kind of get into some of those details. We're also going to get into the benefits. Why bring spirituality into a process? Why would you do that at all? And anybody who has a spiritual belief system and has been nurturing that knows how important spirituality is to balance, to health, and so it's really, to me, just a no-brainer. If somebody has any belief system, any spiritual belief system whatsoever, I am going to involve their belief system, their spirituality, and amplify that in our work together for their benefit, because you know they will absolutely get more success out of our process if they bring their divinity into our process. I'm an awesome hypnotherapist, but if I can bring divinity into a process, it's going to be just hugely, hugely more successful than if it was just me working with the client alone. And so I'm also going to get into, you know, how to identify which clients are appropriate to even bring spirituality in. And, you know, I don't particularly put a whole bunch of spiritual information on my website. I don't promote myself as being any kind of spiritualist or spiritual counselor or anything like that. I want to be sure to appeal to the masses, because there are a lot of people who will confuse religion with spirituality and will be put off by anything spiritual, by anything that might be in the vein of religion. And I don't want to be off-putting, because I don't have to bring spirituality into a process if somebody's really against it. But there are ways to identify whether a client is appropriate for that. And for me, that starts with the very first form that they fill out. There's even a question right on there: would you consider yourself a spiritual person? And yes, maybe, or no are the options. And you know, if they put no, I may even still kind of just ask them a question, a little question about their belief system in the pre-hypnosis interview, just to make sure that they didn't put no just because they thought I might mean religion. But certainly if they say yes or maybe, I'm going to ask them to expand on that and get some information from them about their beliefs and where they come from, because it's really important to work within a client's own belief system, not within my belief system. So I'm going to be getting into that too, you know, actually how to work within a client's belief system. And it's, to me, it's no different than working with an athlete. And in the pre-hypnosis interview, I'm going to be really asking a lot of questions to find out specific verbiage and specific skill sets that that particular athlete needs, and, you know, exactly what they do in their craft, in their athleticism, so that I can use their words and I can seem like an expert in their particular athleticism when I'm not. You know, I work with a lot of horseback riders, and I don't know the terminology for that at all, although I love to ride horses, but I'm no professional. And so I get all of their terminology. But it's the same thing with spirituality. It's important to get the words from them, to find out from the client what it is that they believe. And you know, if they call divinity energy, then that's what I'm the word that I'm going to use. If they like the universe, great. If they use Jesus or some other particular being, then those are the words I'm going to be using in discussion, both in and out of hypnosis, if I integrate that into their process. And so I'm gonna, you know, talk about how to approach the topic while in the pre-hypnosis interview, and then within the hypnosis, the different ways that you can introduce spirituality to your actual process, the different kinds of techniques and tools that can be used. And there's so many different ways to do it, whether it's in the direct suggestion part or it's an actual modality like the informing soul technique that Cal teaches. You know, there's just so many things that I do with my clients that dabble in the spiritual realm within the hypnosis itself, and it can be tacked right on to different parts of a five-path process or different parts of anybody's process. And so I'm going to get into the details of that. And then I'm also going to get into some of the spiritual practices that a hypnotist might want to be using to keep themselves balanced and clear. And then some of those can also be taught to clients as homework, basically, as a tool that a client can use between sessions. Like us five-pathers have seventh path, and that's one of the options. But there are quite a few options that can be used, and I'm going to get into some of those. There are different ones that are clearing modalities, that are balancing modalities, that are processes that help people to tap into that energy of their divinity, whoever, whatever that is. So I'm going to get into that. And then I'm actually going to be taking the group through a process, through some actual practice, and then, you know, getting the feedback about how that is experienced. And that I'm really excited about, because as we all know, those of us who have experienced group meditation or group seventh path, there's an amplification of energy that happens when you practice a spiritual practice within a group setting. And so that's always really fun, and big shifts happen in that kind of experience. But becoming, you know, really healthy and clear as a hypnotist is very important. You know, we cross energies with a lot in working with different clients, and we need to do our spiritual hygiene to be able to keep ourselves focused and clear and healthy and happy, and you know, we don't want to be walking around with other people's fear, other people's pain. We want to be clear. So getting into some of that will be really important. And you know, we're absolutely going to talk about using spirituality in groups. So a lot of us hypnotists teach classes as well. So in this talk, I'm going to get into how to integrate spirituality into some of your group practice. And so how to have a workshop, for instance. It can be small, 5 people, or it can be big, 50, 100 people. And it's a great way to get new one-on-one clients, a great way to just really make more money. I mean, it's really an easy money-making deal to spend a day and collect $75, $100, $200, sometimes even more, $500, $600 a person, and really affect a lot of people's lives because of that amplification of energy that happens in the group. People are going to get huge benefits by gathering in the group like that. Feel more accepted, feel like there's more community, feel like there's like-minded people out there. Feel, you know, these days people are feeling really disconnected. And so if you teach workshops or classes, it'll be a way to help people realize that they actually are more connected or can be more connected than they ever thought possible. So we'll be getting into some of that in my talk. And then, of course, we'll get into questions and answers, because people will always have questions about this kind of thing. So, Cal, do you have any questions for me or anything to add?
Oh, I got a bazillion. I got as many questions as you got dogs. No, which means I got at least a couple of things I want to talk about right here. Okay, I'm wondering, what is the greatest challenge, do you think, for hypnotherapists that want to bring spirituality into their practice?
Well, I think the greatest challenge is first of all, knowing how to do it. Knowing kind of the hows, whats, whys, whens of integrating that information, because a lot of people can be very black and white, and there's a subtlety. It's kind of in a gray area when you're bringing in something like spirituality, because not everybody's going to be open to it. And so a lot of people feel like, well, if I'm going to do spiritual stuff, I should put it on my website. I should say it right off the bat. And that's not necessarily true, because that, like I said earlier, can be off-putting to people. So the biggest challenge is knowing, you know, how to get it in, when to get it in, the finesse of knowing when to just say nothing about it at all. Because it is a risk. You certainly could put somebody off if you bring it up in the pre-hypnosis interview and somebody really is against any kind of spirituality. It can create more resistance, and you don't want to do that with your clients. As we talked about a couple podcasts ago, the goal is to diffuse the resistance and create rapport. But there are things that you can say and ways that you can approach it that allow you to put it out there, but you know, to not necessarily go there if the client is against it.
Cool. Now I got another one. Now, you said that you could actually make money doing this. Now, a lot of people who are interested in spiritual stuff, that's like fingers across the chalkboard to hear scratch. You know, it's just like, how do you rectify in your mind that it's okay to teach spiritual things or do spiritual things and at the same time make money?
Wouldn't this world be a better place if the conscious, awake, spiritual people were in a space of abundance and able to, in that sense, and because of that, not only be more healthy, more happy, more balanced, but have more of an influence in the world? Right now, money is power, and the people that have the bulk of the money are not supporting spiritual journeying. And wouldn't it be amazing if those of us who are in the spiritual world were the ones that had the abundance and that could be conscious about what we do with our abundance? We could be buying these companies that are failing and, you know, doing things with a healthier, more loving frame of mind instead of a more cutthroat, you know, dog-eat-dog world kind of mentality. As far as I'm concerned, spiritual...
Oh, there goes that dog thing again.
Oh, that dog, my millions of dogs. But spiritual people are the ones who should be abundant. And there's so much value in for the client, whether they're coming to a workshop or they're coming to one-on-one sessions, to have their spirituality fostered and, you know, expanded and amplified, and to gain benefit that comes from doing spiritual journeying within the hypnosis, that is valuable. And it's important that people give something to get something valuable. And so absolutely, people value what they've put effort, time, or money towards. And if you're not collecting for this spiritual work, just as you would collect for any other work, the people aren't going to value it and they're not going to get as much out of it. So absolutely we should be charging. Absolutely we should be making money. Absolutely we should be abundant. I believe that divinity wanted us all to be abundant. And it was a big mistake, a big misperception that started a very long time ago. I'm not even sure why it did, but that spiritualists or people that are on a spiritual walk should somehow be poor. And it's just not true. It's just not true. You know, it's a matter of us really deserving to be healthy and balanced and stable. And I believe divinity is in full support of that.
You know, I like to think of as money, not just as power, but money is ability. It makes you able. You know, it makes you able to pay the bills. It helps you to be able to live where you want to live. It helps you to be able to supply for your children, your family. It makes you able to reach out and advertise so that you can teach the things that you think are important. And so money equals ability. And so and there's nothing wrong with being able, as long as what you intend to do is good for you and the people you're working with. You agree with that?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, if I am in session or teaching a workshop and I'm worried about my electricity bill or worried about how I'm going to pay my rent or my mortgage, I am not going to be as clear, as, you know, practical, as professional, as focused, as able to help my clients or workshop attendees as I would be if I had the ability to be happy and healthy and stable because I have enough resources. I completely agree that, you know, if I don't charge enough and if I don't have enough income, then how can I be a professional in this field who's stable and who's focused and who's able to help the client to the best of my ability? How can I afford to go to other workshops or buy materials, you know, training materials that will help me to be the best if I'm not charging for my services? You know, it's imperative to be able to have the resources, to be able to go on retreat and rejuvenate myself, to be able to go travel the world and to get inspired by being in another culture or in another country and bring that inspiration back to my practice. It's essential.
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. I really do hope you join me in August at the convention. It's really exciting. It was so fun to get to meet so many of you at Solid Gold, and I really can't wait to meet even more of you in Massachusetts. And I definitely want your questions. I definitely want your feedback. Please do email them to me, Meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. Post them down there on calbanyan.com or put them on the Ask Cal group on ourhypnospace.com. You can put them on Facebook. There's so many places for you to put those questions and those comments. I appreciate all of you so much. We're all in this together. Let's just keep doing good work. This is Meredith Locker signing off.
Thank you, Meredith. And I want to tell you out there, if you've never gone to an NGH convention before, or if you have gone to an NGH convention before, you definitely want to go to this one coming up, 2012 NGH convention, because hey, it's going to be the best one ever. I'm going to be there. L. Ron's going to be there. Celeste's going to be there. And Meredith. It's going to be the best ever. And we're going to have a good time. All right. That's it. Remember to go to facebook.com/hypnosisETC for the inside scoop, everything that's going on. Bye for now.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.